tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers and Republicans who control the state legislature remain far apart on boosting Wisconsin's economy and dealing with the state's child care crisis. Republicans are proposing wide-ranging tax cuts and child care deregulation. The Democratic governor says that's not what child care centers need.
I'd like to see them sit in a room with six babies with one person. Come on.
Evers appeared on the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. 60 hospitals in Wisconsin say they lost money last year. The price of supplies and services have climbed more than 26% since 2019. Salaries and fringe benefits have gone up by almost 14%. Medicare and Medicaid payments make up more than half of a hospital's income, but the industry says reimbursement rates fall short. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A former high school teacher has been found guilty by a jury of inappropriately touching a student. 32-year-old Nicholas Bergeron, a former Osseo Fairchild High School teacher, was found guilty of second-degree sexual assault of a child in Trumbull County Court on Friday after being accused of inappropriately touching a 15-year-old student. The student also reported that other students witnessed some of the incidents and that Bergeron tried to get her phone number. The first public meeting of Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers' Task Force on Workforce and Artificial Intelligence is scheduled today in Madison. The task force was created to investigate how artificial intelligence will affect Wisconsin workers and businesses and find the best way to integrate the new technology to benefit all parties. Last week, Governor Tony Evers announced the appointments of 30 members to the task force from various private and public backgrounds in the state. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Bucks face the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the Miami Heat tonight at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. The Bucks losing last night to the Atlanta Hawks, 127-110. Bucks newcomer Damian Lillard just with 6 points. NFL Monday Night Football. The Detroit Lions with a rare primetime game at home at Ford Field against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Green Bay Packers have made their pass rusher, Rashawn Gary, one of the highest paid linebackers, a 4-year deal worth $96 million, Gary on achieving his goal.
It's not hard, man, when you come in an organization like this and you have guys that's going to work Monday to Sunday and want the same outcome. So it's not like everybody's down, moving around, we're hungry. And like I said, we're excited for the next opportunity. So as long as we have that energy and as long as everybody's pushing to be better and get better and hold ourselves to that standard, look each other in the mirror, understand what we need to do right and what we need to fix that was wrong, we'd be fine.
Linebacker Rashawn Gary. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, snow showers, an inch or so of accumulation, low upper 20s and windy. Blustery for tomorrow with decreasing clouds, highs in the mid-30s. Gusts for tonight and tomorrow, 30 to 40 miles an hour at times. A mix of sun and clouds and near 40 on Wednesday. Currently 35 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday happy hour. But Dom, it starts with sad news, or at least happy news delayed. And I'm an instant gratification guy. You know I am.
Be patient, Michael.
Veruca Salt over here is getting a little cranky. Here is the headline. Ivanka delays testifying in Donald Trump's New York fraud trial. I do not like this headline. So here's the story, Dom. Ivanka was supposed to have testified in the New York civil fraud trial Friday. That's when she was supposed, this upcoming Friday. The whole Trump family was going to be on the stand this week.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Something like that. But now, Ivanka is slated to testify on November 8th because of a scheduling conflict, according to the ABC News. So Trump's daughter will be amongst the last to testify to Attorney General Letitia James' case before the Trump defense takes the reins. I don't know what defense he's got to put out there, Dom. But here's what's interesting. Do you know what else is happening on November 8th, Dom?
November 8th. That's next Wednesday.
The 3rd. I'll just interrupt. More of a rhetorical
Pink is
question.
Playing in Cleveland, I think. But go ahead.
Well, I was going to say November 8th is the 3rd GOP debate in Miami, Florida, buddy.
Oh, nice.
And Donald Trump had promised to be there, not at the debate, but counter-programming in Hialeah, which I'm hoping is somewhere near Miami. I think it's probably close, right? Trying to draw the press away from the big spin room event, the race for second.
What was I did see the headline, Crudy. What was the rationale, the reason giving for the, what, Friday to Wednesday delay?
Conflict.
Scheduling conflict?
I guess so. Here's what the rest of this little reporting snippet says. Trump will see his sons testify in the fraud case, with Don Jr. scheduled to take the stand Wednesday. It's going to be a hell of a hump day edition around here, Dom. And Eric likely following Thursday. State Attorney Andrew Amber told ABC News, Eric Trump should be available to start whenever we finish with Don Jr., Amber said. And if all goes according to plan, the former president will testify Monday, and the court will adjourn for Election Day Tuesday, and then Ivanka will appear Wednesday, according to the report.
That's interesting. So Junior, Eric, Trump on Monday, Ivanka on Tuesday.
Wednesday. Ivanka, Wednesday. Because it's election day, apparently, in New York on Tuesday. So they're going to drop her on Wednesday, Dom. And daddy's going to be very, very sad.
I wonder if he's going to. I mean, this obviously this is going to be extremely interesting to see. I mean, the fraud's already been determined. Now it's a matter of finding them, right? And what the boys will say in their defense, what Trump will say in his defense. I mean, do they plead the fifth? Of course you can, but if you do, the judge can make an adverse inference of that you're taking the fifth because it's a civil case and assume that, you know, you're hiding something and make a judgment accordingly. So do they take the fifth, or does he get up there and just, you know, do go full on Trump? I don't know. I don't know how this is going to play out.
Well, it depends on my mood. If I wake up in the morning and, you know, I'm feeling good because, you know, my worth is really my brand. So I might be worth $7 billion, but if I'm on a good mood, $10
billion. Well, I'm worth a trillion, jillion dollars then. I mean, if that's our criteria, 844-967-2789. Oh, we have some callers.
When he goes swimming, does he have to worry about shrinkage then, Tom? Back down to 5 mil?
Back to 5. Not feeling good. That's why he only stays in the hot tubs, Crudy. It's warm in there. CNN reporting from yesterday, I believe. No, actually, this was this morning. The judge overseeing Trump's federal elections subversion criminal case has reinstated the gag order. Talked about this briefly with John Nichols last hour. U.S. District Judge Tanya Chutkan also denied Trump's request to issue a long-term stay of order, which bars the former president from publicly targeting court personnel, potential witnesses, or the special counsel's team while his appeal of it played out. Here's a quote from the judge. As the court has explained, the First Amendment rights of participants in criminal proceedings must yield, when necessary, to the orderly administration of justice, a principle reflected in Supreme Court precedent, the federal rules of criminal procedure, and the local criminal rules. And contrary to defendant's argument, the right to a fair trial is not his alone, but belongs also to the government and the public. Yeah, man, no doubt. I mean, you must yield, Mr. Trump, Citizen Trump. I don't care if you're running for president or dog catcher. When necessary to the orderly administration of justice, you're out on bail, sir. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Chutkan issued the order earlier this month after prosecutors raised concern that the former president could intimidate witnesses or encourage harm against prosecutors through his public comments. Trump quickly appealed, and Chutkan temporarily froze the order on October 20th, while special counsel Jack Smith's team and Trump's attorneys litigated whether it should be paused indefinitely during the appeals process. It will not. The former president slammed the ruling Sunday evening, claiming that it infringed upon his right to free speech. Quote, the corrupt Biden administration just took away my First Amendment right to free speech. Not constitutional. Make America great again, he posted on True Social. But I don't know. It didn't look like he really went after the judge in that particular post. So maybe he's, you know, listening to his attorneys. But absolutely, man, you're a citizen. You're anybody else. I don't know why anybody would get any slack to this guy ever.
Yeah, he's listening to his attorneys, and pretty soon he's going to start acting presidential, Dom.
I can't wait. And in 2 weeks, a replacement for ACA is coming out.
844-967-2789. Our pal Dana from La Crosse, as in your neck of the woods, listening on LCX.
Hey, Dana.
On the Eagle 1490 AM this weekend, Dana.
Good afternoon, Devils. Yeah, I'm sorry I missed you in town yesterday, Crudy.
Sort of clandestine mission, just in and out like a ninja.
Sure, I understand. Yeah, that office you gotta decorate it up or something. At least put a poster in there or something so people know what it is.
I'm thinking exterior signage on the building. It's a prominent downtown location because it needs signage, man. It's coming.
Yeah. I know. Hey, you know what I'm looking forward to with the kids testifying?
What's that?
You know, I watched Don Jr. for a while here with his, when he makes his public speeches and his little podcast rants and stuff. And I tell you, with all those narcotics that he allegedly consumes, you know, you can hear his voice quiver all the time when he speaks publicly. I think he's going to cry in court. I am looking forward to it. They're going to make him cry. What do you think?
I think it's highly probable. I'm smart.
Maybe I'm smart. I want respect. Thanks for the call, Dana. It is, you know, the dynamic, of course, with the family and the kids and the history. It is certainly something to behold. But at the end of the day, all I'm really, and I don't give a damn. You know, I mean, Republicans, Democrats, politics. Listen, if it was me, you know, what would happen to me? If it was you, listening right now and you were in the situation that Donald Trump is, and you had a, you know, you were the one doing the fraud, or you were the one that were threatening judges or intimidating witnesses, or, you know, tampering with the jury pool, violating the gag order. If that were you, wouldn't you want, you know, the same justice to be done to the former guy or to anybody else or the Trump kids? I mean, isn't that what we all should strive for? Isn't that what we deserve? Equal justice under law? How is anybody even questioning whether or not if Donald Trump violates this again and again and again and again, eventually ends up in the slammer, period? I don't give a damn if he's running for dog catcher or president. How does that make any difference whatsoever? As the judge said, you got to bend. You are out. You're privileged being out right now. You're on bail, dude. You got 91 charges. Come on.
844. Not all in the same jurisdiction. 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appletown. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Hi, Cindy.
Well, I'd like to make a couple of points about the Kurt Bangstad thing. I think that what you were just talking about kind of plays into this, because here you have a small businessman up in Minocqua, for most people don't even know where the hell that is. But anyway, he's defaming supposedly some newspaper guy. And he gets fined, what, $750,000? And we have a former president who is defaming and giving information for jurors out, and he gets a $15,000 fine? Do you see the kind of the disconnect here? And I really think judges are humans, and if they are bad judges, I think we have the right as the people to be critical of them.
In regards to the Bangstad, for accuracy's sake, it wasn't a judicial ruling of $750,000. That came from a jury, and that was because they found that Kirk Bangstad acted with malice, and there were two incidents of defamation. The first one, which brought the suit, and then another social media posting, which brought the punitive damages from a jury of 13 in the amount which was greater than the compensatory damages. And look at the facts of the case. If the facts are that there was defamation and the jury found it was with malice, which they did, then this would potentially be a very valid ruling.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Cindy. And potentially, Curdy, again, I don't know, but if you're the opinion writer of a local newspaper, aren't you kind of a public figure?
Well, you know that, I mean? that was a case, and perhaps that's Kirk's get out of paying free card. Maybe the appellate court of the state of Wisconsin will say the lower court, the district court, found improperly when they found that this person was being maligned as a person, not as a public figure. He wasn't maligned for his ownership of the paper or whatever the case may be. He was maligned as a human being. Now, a different judge may have a different ruling. That's why you got an appellate court system. Right? That's the second.
That's why he said he's going to appeal. Yep. We'll see.
He absolutely will.
We'll see.
What I don't like to see is the undermining of the court system because someone doesn't like the judgment against them. Go stand with your appeal. Go talk to your counsel. But don't crap on the judge. That's my opinion. Hmm.
93.5 The Tap.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
You know, the only thing my son and I missed driving through western Wisconsin yesterday, we didn't play
Van Halen on the radio.
Yes, we weren't too much Packers and news talk coverage. I didn't put on any rock and roll music station in the state of Wisconsin right now. At least one of them's playing Van Halen right now.
Wisconsin loves themselves from Van Halen. Hell, the old stuff, the Sammy days. Hell, even the guy from Gary Cherone. I don't even hear that stuff.
You know what they never play? OU 812. It's always 5150 Van Hagar. 844-967-2789. Dynamo Dave from Duluth. How you doing, fella?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Say, you know, the conservatives seem to always, the right complains about this cancel culture. And if you remember a guy by the name of Tom Emmer, tried to become Speaker of the House, he was a little more not as far to the right as the current guy that they nominated.
Well, Trump was able to cancel his ass, Dave. I mean, Trump doesn't have the power to lift, but he has the power to squish.
Right, and it's like they shouldn't be beefing about cancel culture because they themselves engage in it even among their own party.
Well, yeah, just ask Kevin McCarthy. What would you call his tenure as speaker?
Yeah. Oh, God. This is so stupid. I mean, I like to call them consequences for your actions, Dave. You know, I mean, they jumped the shark on the cancel culture, wokeness stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, at what point can we just move past it all and call it, hey, when you say things that are controversial, you might have to pay some sort of price for that politically or socially, culturally. How is that any different than it ever should be or will be, Dave? Because it kind of came up with a new name and it floats really well with the mega base?
Right. Good question.
All right, brother. However, anything else, man?
No, that's it. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Dave. Thank you, sir.
Dynamo Dave.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And AI must be monitoring, what sites I read, that because I get all this right-wing crap, and I don't go to right-wing sites all that often, but I get referred to all these right-wing stories from these right-wing, with a right-wing slant on it, or probably just basically, nonsense. But
leave the Twitter behind, Mark. Now that Elon's got the Twitter, and it's not just who you follow, but they give you the for you. And I can tell you,
I don't actually go to Twitter at all. I've never gone out to Twitter or do any of that stuff. But this is just the news feeds that I get that on my page. But it was interesting. I saw an article where the new Speaker of the House wife actually adores Hippocrates from Greek medicine. And I kind of found that interesting that considering the fact that she's going back to classical Greek culture where homosexuality was not, and they wouldn't have called it that, they wouldn't have thought of it that way, but man love was certainly not banned by those guys, and it was actually endorsed rather than, your true love was supposed to be your fellow man, not your fellow woman, that from my understanding of history, and getting, the history of the United States, little Mr. Mike Johnson, who is this devoted Baptist, should look in the Baptist history, where it was the Baptists who were one of the ones insisting on a separation of church and state, insisted on the fact that, freedom of conscience. So this guy does not believe in freedom of conscience. He believes in, you've got to believe it our way or the highway.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly it, Mark. He was asked by Hannity, when he was interviewed by Hannity, he said, people ask me what my worldview is, and his response was, read the Bible. That's my worldview. And it's like, well, what part of the Bible, man? The New Testament, the Old Testament, the shellfish part, the linens and the wools, or the gays, what part? The turn the other cheek, the love everybody part? What part are we really talking about?
Little Mike Johnson. It's the baptismal shrinkage, Jerry. 844-967-2789.
It is really something else.
This Spike Johnson, I feel like he's going to be the speaker that keeps on giving them.
We're just getting to it. And I don't know. I mean, I appreciate John Nichols' perspectives, and that's why I love him when he comes on from the Nation and the Cap Times. You know, but how Mike Johnson plays this off any differently than Kevin McCarthy. I just don't know how that happens. So he's going to maybe pick up a couple of the hard righties, but you know, you got to have some folks that don't want to go that far, that, you know, one in Biden districts that maybe don't want to shut down the government, may have a different thought. So you pick some up on the right, but you lose some in the center right, you know, a little left of right. That math is going to be interesting.
Dominic, do you see what the former president put up overnight? Sort of a threat towards the current president. You know, you talk about the gag order. The same could happen to you. Trump threatens Biden in the middle of the night rant.
Wow.
As Donald Trump faces another week of court hearings in both his financial fraud trial in Manhattan and in Florida related to charges of obstruction of justice, he fired off a warning at President Joe Biden long after midnight, where he promised retribution should he win re-election in 2024. Now that's a re-elective campaign. Retribution 2024.
I am your retribution. He's been saying this.
This week, his children, as we mentioned, Don Jr. and Eric, although apparently Ivanka, not till next week, debate Wednesday, will be appearing in the courtroom of Judge Arthur Engoron, where they will testify in their own defense after being charged, with the exception of Ivanka, in New York Attorney General Letitia James' $250 million civil suit. And those worries, as well as two other criminal trials on tap in two other jurisdictions, appear to have triggered the former president to lash out at Biden, blaming him for his legal woes. You know, whenever I get in trouble, you know what my answer always is? Dominic.
Joe Biden.
No, Dominic. Easier to blame you. Just, you know, proximity.
I can take it.
In the middle of the night, he warned Biden he could find himself in the same boat. Why did crooked Joe Biden tell his injustice department to file the lawsuits and indictments against me 3 years ago instead of right in the middle of my campaign for president? Question mark. You're setting a, all caps, bad precedent for yourself, Joe. The same could happen to you. Same could happen to you.
No, the I mean,
retribution
I don't
tour.
I don't think, you know, Joe Biden was involved in, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in fraud over the years.
Oh, don't tell that to Comer. They're still digging over on the House side.
Oh, okay,
wait,
okay.
Dom, there's more. He then added, these third world Biden indictments, which should never have been filed, would have been tried and over with years ago. My sleazebag opponent should be able to do this during my campaign. And then all caps to the end, Dom, or before the election! Exclamation point. Just one, though. Just one. Sparing with the exclamation points. 844-967-2789. The happier happy hour. It's going to roll on. Your phone calls, they're always welcome here, Dom. Not yours so much, but other people's.
You know, did you hear? We got to get to this friends. As well. You know, the field. Man, it's getting smaller on the Republican side. Former Vice President Mike Pence, he has bowed out. We'll get to that. Some of your calls, once again, 844-967-2789.
Hang Mike Pence!
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democrats in the Wisconsin State Senate see a lot in the bill to maintain American Family Field that they do not like. State Senator Kelda Royce was on Upfront on WISN-TV yesterday. She says she doesn't think any Senate Democrat would vote for the bill as it stands. Republicans who run the Senate say they likely need some Democrats to vote for the bill. Negotiations over amendments are happening now. The head of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau is opposed to the Department of Natural Resources' new wolf management plan. Kevin Krentz says the DNR should have specific population goals for wolves. Instead, the DNR is moving to an adjustable population goal, which is the same as for deer and other animals. The Farm Bureau says wolves are killing too many deer and livestock. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Law enforcement officials are searching for two men who went missing while canoeing this weekend. The Douglas County Sheriff's Office says the men went out on a canoe on the Minog Flowage Saturday evening, and family members found the canoe capsized around 1 a.m. on Sunday. The Sheriff's Office deployed drones and personnel on the water throughout the day Sunday, but the men still have not been found. The Sheriff's Office also says more information will be released when it becomes available. Chad Allen Goldberg, the president of a University of Wisconsin-Madison group that represents employee interests, is calling out state leadership over the higher education budget standoff. Republican lawmakers have withheld $32 million in funding for universities of Wisconsin schools in an effort to end diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. He also said state leaders and Universities of Wisconsin president Jay Rothman are derelict in their duties, comments which were called baseless by a UW spokesperson. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Bucks face the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the Miami Heat tonight at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. The Bucks losing last night to the Atlanta Hawks, 127-110. Bucks newcomer Damian Lillard just with 6 points. NFL Monday Night Football. The Detroit Lions with a rare primetime game at home at Ford Field against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Green Bay Packers have made their pass rusher, Rashawn Gary, one of the highest paid linebackers, a 4-year deal worth $96 million. Gary on achieving his goal.
It's not hard, man, when you come in an organization like this and you have guys that's going to work Monday to Sunday and want the same outcome. So it's not like everybody's down, moving around, we're hungry. And like I said, we're excited for the next opportunity. So as long as we have that energy, as long as everybody's pushing to be better and get better and hold ourselves to that standard, look each other in the mirror, understand what we need to do right and what we need to fix that was wrong, we'll be fine.
Linebacker Rashawn Gary. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bug Tussle Wireless. Bug Tussle, we're out there.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, snow showers, an inch or so of accumulation, low upper 20s and windy. Blustery for tomorrow with decreasing clouds, highs in the mid-30s. Gust for tonight and tomorrow, 30 to 40 miles an hour at times. A mix of sun and clouds and near 40 on Wednesday. Currently 35 degrees.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Well, it was nearly summer, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the happier happy hour rolling through it. But more sad news, Dom. The delusions of grandeur have come to an end. as has the campaign of former Vice President Mike Pence. Yes, he's out. Local of the reporting, I've got the Associated Press here. Former VP Mike Pence on Saturday dropped his bid for the Republican presidential nomination, ending his campaign for the White House after struggling to raise money and gain traction in the polls. You know, people didn't care for him so much. I don't know why. You know, January 6th, they just wanted to hang him at the gallows, Dom.
I mean, at least they knew his name. You know, there's no such thing as bad PR, Crudy.
It's become clear to me, this is not my time, Pence said at the Republican Jewish Coalition's annual gathering in Vegas. Vegas, baby! So after much prayer and deliberation, because that's what one does in Vegas, praise. Come on, seven! Please, God, give me a seven. After much
pray for the sun to rise, man. Prayer, pray to make it till morning.
After much... What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, Dom. So after much prayer and deliberation, I have decided to suspend my campaign for president effective today. We always knew this would be an uphill battle, but I have no regrets.
No regrets. He's got no regrets, Crudy. Let me jump down in the AP. Pence's decision more than 2 months before the Iowa caucuses that he had staked his campaign on saves him from accumulating additional debt.
Additional.
As well as the embarrassment of potentially failing to qualify for the third Republican primary debate. That's next week in Miami. But his withdrawal is a huge blow for a politician who spent years biding his time as Trump's most loyal lieutenant, only to be scapegoated during their final days in office when Trump became convinced Pence somehow had the power to overturn the results of the 2020 election to keep both men in office, which he did not. That's what you get, man. You're loyal to the guy, and you end up losing no matter what. You know, you're just foul. Just look at the record of everyone around Trump, always, ever, everyone, ever. That's all I got to say. A little bit more from the AP. And here's really why. Pence ended September with just $1.18 million in the bank and $621,000 in debt, according to his most recent campaign filing. The debt had grown in the weeks since, and adding to it could have taken Pence, who is not independently wealthy, years to pay off. Well, you know, Crudy, I'd rather owe it to you forever than never pay it. We have some sound of the former vice president. Nate, going to need your help on this. Let's play cut number one, the VP in Vegas, leaving the campaign to go party, cut one.
I'm leaving this campaign, but let me promise you, I will never leave the fight for conservative values, and I will never stop fighting to elect principled Republican leaders to every office in the land.
Guys like Trump? I mean, really? Can you say that with a straight face? You know he doesn't mean Trump. He hates Trump. He despises Trump. Trump tried to have his ass hung. Yet he has not said a cross word about the man, barely. Since he's been running for president. You can't have it both ways, Michael. Back to talk radio, Dom. What do you think he's doing next?
He's never going to give up on the fight for conservatives. You know, that's why we're in Vegas, baby. Let's hear a little more from Pence. Not my time. Cut two, please.
The Bible tells us.
Oh, God.
That there's a time for every purpose under heaven. Traveling across the country over the past 6 months, I came here to say it's become clear to me this is not my time.
Got the time tick, tick, ticking in my head. So therefore, he is suspending his campaign. Cut three, please.
After much prayer and deliberation, I have decided to suspend my campaign for president effective today.
God doesn't want you to be president. I guess that's the takeaway, Pence. I mean, that's tough to deal with, but I guess that's how you interpret it. But on the other hand, the good news is Trump, well, he thinks he's got a new person to endorse him. Cut number five, please.
You know, people are leaving now, and they're all endorsing me. I don't know about Mike Pence. He should endorse me. He should endorse me. You know why? Because...
Kill him! Did I hear kill him?
Because I had a great successful presidency, and he was the vice president. He should endorse me.
Great, successful. I mean, God, I was awesome the economy when it tanked during the COVID, and then remember that part, and then he tried to overthrow the government because he lost. That was great. Remember that? That was great. Let's hear it again, Kurti, because I want to hear if we did hear someone say that. If you would please, let's keep it quiet. Let's hear what Trump says. Hear what the audience has to say. Cut number five again, please.
You know, people are leaving now, and they're all endorsing me. I don't know about Mike Pence. He should endorse me. He should endorse me. You know why? Because...
Right there!
Because I had a great, successful presidency, and he was the vice president. He should endorse me.
I couldn't make it out. Didn't sound great, but, you know, they weren't saying hang Mike Pence. I didn't hear that. So, you know, they're really coming around, these megas. So there we go, Pence. He's out, baby. He's out, and he has not endorsed. Why hasn't he endorsed anybody?
Pence?
Yeah.
You know, there could be a slim path for the second place finisher in Iowa, but probably only if it's Nikki Haley. I saw this Fox News Digital. They're doing the strategic breakdown, and Trump's way out in front in Iowa, right? And I told you, dude. I think I told you. I went to a Trump rally in an off year. I believe it was 2021 in Des Moines, Iowa, for no good reason. Maybe it was 2022, summer. Like 40, 45,000 people showed up for Trump in Iowa. And the Iowa caucuses, the Republicans are still doing theirs. January 15th, Tom. But whoever takes second, silver medal is still second, right? Even if you're 40 back. Your second place. They're going to get a lot of attention. Now, unlike Joe Biden, you know, Joe Biden did not make the New Hampshire ballot. Joe Biden will not be on the ballot in the state of New Hampshire for the primaries. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
He did not qualify because he has flipped the electoral chart, because South Carolina is now going to be the first primary state. Effectively, they have de-balloted Joe Biden from the state of New Hampshire. He is not on the Democratic primary ballot. You can write his ass in. He'll probably be there in the general election, I suspect. But anyways, get a little momentum off of Iowa, talking about perhaps the second place finisher. And they use the example of Gary Hart. You know, Gary Hart finished way back at Walter Mondale once upon a time in Iowa. And then a week later, he beat Mondale by like 10 points in New Hampshire. Just off effectively the momentum he garnered from a second place finish in Iowa. Well, I think Ron DeSantis has fallen flat. We've predicted he was the second coming of Scott Walker, although I'm a little disappointed Pence got out before DeSantis. I thought Ron would be first. I mean, even Trump's.
Ron have always had more money, though.
De-sanctimonious. I think he's almost out of cash. He might make it to Iowa, but if he is moving to Des Moines right about now. This guy, the whole DeSantis family is like moving to Iowa. That in a 12-piece band. 844-967-2789. I'm going to probably try to go to Iowa and see if I can make Ron DeSantis cry. That's my goal. It really is. I'd like to see him cry. I feel like I damn near made Ted Cruz cry when he was in the state of Wisconsin for the primary. Now, DeSantis will never make it to the April 4th primary here in the state of Wisconsin. So I'm going to have to go to Iowa to make him cry, Dom. 844-967-2789. Joe from Madison. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Oh, I would love you to apply your investigative techniques for a little bit in lieu of making the dear candidate cry. I've got a task for you. I'm looking at Michael Johnson, and there's some interesting stuff about Michael Johnson and the number of children that he has. If you go on his Wikipedia page, you go on his campaign pages, he outlines that he has four children that he's very proud of. He and his wife are very proud of. But yet, when he's been in a couple of congressional hearings, he's talked about his adopted son, Michael, who would be a fifth child. Never seen in any of the photos of the family, never seen in campaign literature at all. And Michael was apparently a 14-year-old African-American that we don't know his last name. If he took Johnson as a last name or not, we don't know. But Mr. Johnson has spoken of him, and he said he adopted him. Now, this gets real interesting because he said this in a 2019 interview that he and his wife adopted him in 22 years previous, which would be 1997. But he and his wife didn't meet until 1998, and they didn't get married until 1999. So when this was pointed out to him, he said, well, adopted, you know, I didn't really adopt him. I took custody of him. So he took custody of Michael, the 14-year-old African-American kid, and then not fostered. No, there's no paperwork that supports that, no paperwork that supports the adoption. But he, quote, took custody. And his social workers are pointing out online, how do you do that? You know, how do you apply for that without, you know, it's not guardianship, it's not custodial care. There'd be paperwork if that were the case. Where are the biological parents? How did he enroll this kid in school? Did the kid go to school? What does it mean to say, I took custody of this person? Now, he was 11 years older than Michael. Michael, the African-American kid, was 11 years younger than Michael Johnson, the congressional speaker now. He says now that his son, Michael, doesn't have any desire to be in the public, which may be true, and that he's off in California and doesn't want to have any comments.
If Mike Johnson was your dad, would you want to publicly recognize him as your father, Joe?
But what happened during that time? What was the deal?
Interesting. It's intriguing. I actually learned about this very same story, and I brought it up a little bit earlier, Joe, but I learned this from Saturday Night Live, the cold open. And they rolled out this character who was playing Michael Johnson, the new speaker. And then they rolled out this character who was playing his son, the black grown up man of approximate same age. They're both middle-aged men, except one supposedly the father of the other without any adoption papers. And the other one, pardon me, Joe, got a little fall allergies, but the other one doesn't want to be publicly acknowledged.
And he isn't acknowledged in family.
As a child of the foster care system, I got to tell you, I feel like this story a little sketch.
Yeah, there's something a little funky going on there. Something kind of hinky, don't you think? And the congressman apparently was quoted as saying, his rep was said, the congressman will not be commenting further out of respect for Michael, his privacy, and, quote, their relationship. Which I thought, oh, well, what is their relationship? Is he a true son? Is he just somebody that they, quote, took custody of, like, you know, the dog on the sidewalk? What is that? So, at any rate, I think there's a little bit more to Mr. Johnson and his past. And I await more investigative work. So instead of making Mr. DeSantis cry, I hope you just nosedive into the story.
Joe, I got to be honest with you. I'm not going to Louisiana. I'm not going to investigate Michael Johnson. I might take a trip down to Miami. Airline tickets are very cheap for next week if you want to join me, Dom. But no, I will not be stopping in the deep.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Good points. Lots of questions, more questions than answers. But Crudy, as mentioned, you were in the system, right? You were a ward of the state, and you had several parents that you stayed with.
Custodial parents, yes.
Yeah, custodial parents.
So, there are legal records of that. Yes.
Yeah. So could we find those legal records right now? Could you go look at your old custodial records from back in the day? I mean, is this something that remains something that could be dug up?
Who's asking?
I'm just saying, because presumably the son was in a similar situation, perhaps, that you may have been. Not an adoption, but a custodial care. Is that possible? And if so, could we get records of that?
Well, not this cat, because I'm not going to Louisiana. I don't know if you know, but I skipped the Deep South, Miami. It's like hopping all the way over the Deep South and going to like a Central American country. Except the Palm Beach area where Mar-a-Lago's at. That's a little different. And next Wednesday, Hialeah. That is if Ivanka's not giving testimony in New York, because that might keep daddy enthralled. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. One last segment for your phone calls. 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our last segment of the day. You can join us on the phones at 844-967-2789 and stick around for the Maggie Dawn show coming up at 6 o'clock.
Dominic, a texter. Where'd that text go? Eric from Lodi says, I got this from Twitter. Lauren Boebert was on the House floor taking selfies and congratulating Mike Johnson when he won the speakership. This isn't the first time Boebert has been caught stroking a Johnson in a crowded room. Now, I did.
Well done. Well done.
Literally see Lauren Boebert immediately following the vote for Speaker Mike Johnson. I passed her on Capitol Hill, Dom. I told you the story. Nothing too much. Just there she was. There I was. She walked and I followed and that was it. One photo. But the Associated Press reports that she's turning over a new leaf suddenly, Dom.
Oh, wait, what?
Rep Lauren Boebert is reportedly showing unusual humility, something we never do.
What's that?
Showing unusual humility to her constituents after getting booted out of a performance of the Beetlejuice musical. Do you see they're coming to the Overture Center? You could see the show that so turned her and her date on. They're coming here. And this would, and then was shown on a security camera footage vaping during the show and publicly groping her date. The Associated Press reports that these actions have damaged her efforts to cultivate an image of herself as an upstanding Christian woman. And she's delivering public apologies to constituents when meeting with them during campaign stops. Most of us were like, holy cow! Boebert supporter Beverly Cooler tells the Associated Press of seeing the video of the congresswoman's behavior at the musical. And one of the big reasons for that is a gap between how she presented herself as a Christian and what ended up happening. Little hypocrisy, Dom. Now, Boebert has implicitly acknowledged the damage that the scandal has done, and the AP reports that she acknowledged recently. Democrats certainly smell blood and water about her congressional seat, which she won last year in an unexpectedly close election by under 600 votes in a district of 700,000, Dom. Anyways, a little bit more. Republican Dusty Mars, 44 for one, tells the AP that he's unsure about supporting Boebert again in the Republican primary, and he's frustrated by the fact that it's seemingly so hard to hold on to what should be a safe seat for the GOP. It should be a lot easier to get a Republican candidate into the district. We shouldn't be pulling teeth to get votes. Well, I don't think she was pulling teeth, Dom.
No teeth were pulled. Oh, my goodness. I mean, number one, as a Christian, my understanding, I don't know what kind of Christian, but I think basically the tenet is, as I recall from my Catholic high school, if you ask for forgiveness, then Jesus forgives you. So I'm not surprised that, she was, getting frisky in a Beetlejuice. I mean, hell, I'm surprised she was actually taking in the arts, man. Of course, it was Beetlejuice. There's no surprise here. No, she's playing a political game. She's thinking, because remember, she lied about it to begin with, right? No, it wasn't me. I wasn't vaping, wasn't doing anything. And of course, then the cameras, they released the footage. Oh, okay, I guess it was. Maybe Jesus forgives you, but I don't.
One more quick story, Dom, for today. More enlightenment, edification for you and the audience.
Oh, please edify me, Crudy.
Let's talk about Speaker Mike Johnson's wife, co-parent to Michael the Black 41-year-old son. But anyways, Kelly Johnson, who's married to House Speaker Mike Johnson, practices a form of Christian counseling that classifies people into choleric, phlegmatic, and other ancient personality types purportedly ordained by God. Well, you've always been a little choleric, Dom.
I mean, not since I was a baby.
Dom, the wife of newly elected House Speaker, ran a Christian counseling service that is affiliated with an organization that advocates against abortion, not a shocker, and homosexuality, and whose practices are built on the teachings of the Greek physician Hippocrates. It's not clear if Kelly Johnson will continue her practice not long after Rep. Mike Johnson became House Speaker last week. Kelly Johnson's website became inaccessible.
They're scrubbing everything they can, man.
Johnson, her husband of more than 24 years, rose overnight from a virtually obscure House lawmaker to a position that is second in line to the presidency. The couple is deeply religious. It's written here, Dom. Both Kelly and Mike Johnson previously worked with religious organizations and causes the religious right advocates for. Along with her counseling, Johnson is also listed as an advisor to Louisiana Right for Life, an anti-abortion organization. And Kelly Johnson's website listed a specialty in temperament counseling. Well, you've always been temperamental, Dom.
Thank you. A specialty
that she received training from an organization founded in the 1980s by a Christian couple. According to the materials organizations provided, the National Christian Counselors Association is adamant that its offerings take place outside of more traditional state licensed settings so that the counselors and clients can be fully engaged through their faith and not under the scrutiny of licensing.
No, can't have that.
Here's a quote, Dom. The state licensed professional counselor in certain states is forbidden to pray, read, or refer to the Holy Scriptures, counsel things against such as homosexuality, abortion, etc. A catalog of the organization's offering states initiating such counsel could be considered unethical by the state. Yeah, so let's do it outside of their scrutiny. Yeah, you're too phlegmatic, Dom. We need to get the leeches on you.
You know, knock yourself out, whatever your faith is, you know, embrace it, engage it, and go have fun with it. But don't put that on me. 844-967-2799.
I got Wisco some Paul, leeches you in your size, buddy.
I need big leeches. Wisco Paul, you will have the last word. Welcome. What do you got
for Paul.
Good afternoon, Devils. Great show as always. Hey, remember the days when they used to say GOP, God's Official Party? I think you can officially put a fork in that saying because it no longer pertains to Trump and the Republican Party.
Thanks for the call, man. I guess it all depends on what God you're talking about.
Well, they all pray to the white Judeo-Christian God, you know, the blue-eyed blonde Jesus. Yeah. But he keeps leading them astray, Dom, because he keeps telling guys like Mike Pence and Scott Walker that if they just ran and were you know, honored his wishes, that they would learn a lesson. And I hope they have. They are not fit to be president of the United States. Not you, Pence. Not you, Wanker. So anyways, God has smote you down.
With the jawbone of an axe, Curdy?
Ass. Ass.
Oh, an ass. Oh, I'm sorry.
So that could literally be you. Thanks for listening. Maggie Dunn is next. Thank you, John Nichols, for joining us on the air today. And don't forget the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson at 7. Keep it locked.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti, and it is back to work for some striking General Motors workers, even as they vote on approval of a new deal with the United Auto Workers. That as GM joins Ford and Stellantis in coming to tentative agreements with the limited strike, now at about the month and a half mark.
The economic losses from the strikes are now more than $9 billion and growing. All three agreements still must be ratified by the rank and file.
I'm hopeful that we can get to that point and get back to work making the best vehicles on the planet.
Once approved, the new contracts would run for four.